96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. Your questions or comments, toll free at 855-288-4876. Now, Insight.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. When it comes to gun ownership, how do African Americans feel? Are they seen differently by other racial groups when it comes to gun ownership and the Second Amendment? Well, tonight we take a deeper look at a Huffington Post series entitled Why Black People Own Guns. Reporter Julia Craven spoke with about 11 gun owners in different parts of the country about their firearms, the Second Amendment, and connected issues. Julia Craven joins us along with the criminal justice consultant and former D.C. police officer Ron Hampton. If you have a question or comment, give us a call. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. You can tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Julia, thanks for joining me. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. And Ron, good to see you again. Happy New Year
to
you.
Happy New Year to you. Thank you.
Julia, let me start with you. What prompted you to write this article, and what did you find?
Well, the article came out of a conversation that I was having with my editor. We just happened to be getting to know one another. He just got hired on, and somehow we got around to guns, and I started talking about my family and how they adore the Second Amendment, for lack of a better word. My Nana owns two firearms. My mother is shopping for a firearm. And then it just kind of boiled down into this thing where it was like, hey, let's interview other black people about how they feel about guns, considering the history of the Second Amendment and just black gun ownership in America. And then we were like, we should take pictures of them with their guns and make it into a thing. So that's how it happened.
Well, it certainly is a thing. You interviewed black people in rural communities, big cities, in the suburbs, people of various and sundry ages, men and women. What was the thing that surprised you the most?
How similar all of the stories were. Everyone was telling me the same story, but it was just from a different perspective. And I think that's the beauty of the piece. That's what makes it work, is how honestly repetitive it is. I think what that shows people is that black people as a race, we tend to have these very similar experiences when it comes to firearms, particularly when we talk about interacting with police.
Such as, what did they tell you?
Everyone was scared. After the Philando Castile incident, especially, people expressed that even though they have a firearm, they understand that it may not save their lives, and not just interactions with the police, but in any potentially deadly interaction.
How did you find their opinions or thoughts different from the majority culture, white people who are gun owners and the Second Amendment? Was it the same?
No. So the black people that I talked to, and I actually talked to about 20 people, but 11 stories made it into the article because you can't publish, you know, 20 of them. It's too long. But of the people that I spoke with, they all linked their decision to get a gun to a specific incident. One guy talked about how someone broke into his house, and that's why he decided to get a gun. Another guy talked about a series of home invasions that were happening in his neighborhood, and that's why he got a gun. One woman got a gun because she lived in a bad neighborhood, and she wanted to protect herself. So they were always linked to very specific incidents, as opposed to these hypothetical, broader, maybe this could happen scenario that we typically see with white gun owners who get interviewed by the press.
You know, you mentioned Philando Castile and the deadly cop shooting in Minnesota. Did any of them talk about that and gun ownership and how they are seen by either police or the majority culture? Because as we all know, Castile told the officer who pulled him over that he did have a legally registered gun, and we know that he still did not survive that encounter with the officer.
Yeah, of the people who brought it up, they all said that they would follow the law and tell the police officer that they had a gun. One guy I spoke to lived in Florida, and in Florida, you're not legally mandated to tell the police officer you have a firearm. Their law is a little vague on that. But he said that he was in a situation where he was in his car. He was in the car with his cousin. He had his gun in the glove compartment. And even though he didn't have to tell the officer he had a gun, he told him anyway. Because he was like, I was going to have to show him my license anyway. And, you know, he asked me if I have a gun in the car. I say, yes, where is it? So he was like, I'd rather just volunteer the information. And that made him feel safer. One woman I spoke to said that she doesn't even keep her gun in her car. She keeps it in the trunk because she's like, I don't want any complications at all.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about African Americans and gun ownership. Do they feel differently about guns and the Second Amendment than whites? Are they seen differently about gun ownerships and the Second Amendment other than whites or other racial groups? Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Real quick, Ron,
yes, sir.
You kind of raised your eyebrows when she spoke about their encounters with police officers and that they were so concerned about it. Your thoughts about that?
Well, I can tell you, as a police officer carrying a gun, I was in fear of being shot by another police officer. Because you can't in the situation, you know, I didn't wear my uniform. It wasn't attached to me nor my badge. So I had to, if I was stopped by a police officer, and I was several times, I had to go through a process to let them know that, because there wasn't no way that I could let them, that they would know that. So I think there's a caption in the article that is really, I think, hits it right on the nose, and that is, I can't believe myself. I can't see myself or view myself as a gun owner. I view myself as a black gun owner, because there's a difference. It's like being a second-class citizen with a gun, so it's very different. And it can get you, you shot and killed. I wasn't surprised about the article. I had a chance to read it, and I wasn't surprised, again, because even as a police officer, you would think that you carried a gun and you would be all right. But there are a host of stories from black police officers about how they were endangered even after they told the police officer they were a police officer, and they were treated very different and still in danger of being maybe shot by a police officer.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about African-American gun owners, how they're viewed and how they view gun ownership and the Second Amendment. Greg calling from Maryland. Thanks for calling, Greg. What's on your mind?
Hi, good evening to all of you.
Hey, how are you?
Good. My question is geared towards your guest, your first speaker. And based on your findings, you are correct. A lot of African-Americans do support gun ownership, responsible gun ownership. My question is, with that being said, how come the NRA does not try to, lure more black members? The typical member I see is usually a middle-aged white man, you know, and I'm just surprised.
Interesting point. Julia, did they talk about the NRA? Because the other issue with the NRA that was really, really blatant, and again, this has to do with the death of Philando Castile, was that after his death, the NRA was very, very silent on his gun ownership.
Yeah, the NRA did come up once. It came up in a kind of an offhanded way. I was just talking to one of the people that I interviewed, and he was telling me about how he gets fundraising calls from the NRA, but he doesn't donate to them. He's not a member anymore because of the Philando Castile incident. And yeah, so when it came up, and I'm not a spokesperson for the NRA, so I can't
certainly
tell you why they don't reach out to black people. I mean, we can all guess, but I can't speak for certain. But there was a sense of, I don't want to say animosity there, but definitely people just weren't really rocking with the NRA in this story. Mm-hmm. I guess that's the best way I can sum it up for you.
Greg, thank you so much for your question. We're going to try to address that again because we have another guest from a black gun owners organization, and we're going to talk to her a little bit later on in the program. So we hope that you continue to listen. One of the things, Julia, that I did find interesting, almost to a person, the owners that are mentioned in this article said they feel less safe as gun owners as opposed to not owning a gun. Talk to me about that.
Yeah. There was very much a sentiment of, I have a gun for my protection, but this gun kind of puts a target on my back. I'm a black person with a gun, so I'm perceived as even more dangerous than my black skin already makes me seem to certain people. So that's the thing that came up with everyone. Everyone said that they like to think that they're safer, but they're not.
Harold, there's one of the things that I noticed about that, too. I tell you that white folks, I believe, see themselves not only as safer with a gun, but they see themselves as part of law enforcement with a gun, whether they are or not. They see themselves as part of law enforcement. And it's strange that black people with guns don't feel safe, but I can understand that. Not only they don't feel safe with a gun, but they don't see themselves as part of law enforcement with a gun because there's so many examples of deaths that occur as a result of encounter with law enforcement when you have a gun. So you have to be really careful. So it would be unsettling to even have a gun. I'm a retired police officer, but I don't really think that a gun makes me safer. I think there are other things that I need to be doing in my community. And when I was on the police department that I was involved in that made me safe, and gun was the last thing that made me safe.
Julia, you mentioned that there were some similarities. Were there any differences in the interviews person to person that surprised or gave you pause?
Yeah, one person said that they are not worried about their interactions with the police, which is the first time I have ever heard a black person say that.
Mm-hmm.
Not just in the context of this article, but truly, that is the first time I have ever heard a black person say that. And he had faith in his ability to defuse the situation. That definitely stood out to me the most. Another thing was one of the women I spoke with, her brother died because of gun violence, but that didn't turn her away from owning a firearm. She still wanted one for her protection. And she talked very deeply about the post-traumatic stress that comes with growing up in the hood and how that kind of leaves you with this sense of paranoia. So those were the things that stood out to me the most. But overall, the story was one about fear and double consciousness and just a very harrowing realization that a gun isn't going to save you if you're black.
Yeah. It is a fascinating look inside the minds of black gun owners from all across the country, and certainly we salute your journalism, Julia. We're going to lose you. I know you've got a train to catch, but certainly thank you so very much, and keep up the great work. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. We are going to take a break. Lines are still open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We continue this conversation about African-American gun owners and the Second Amendment. Are they treated differently? Do they see it differently? We will be taking your phone calls in just a bit. So if you're on the phone, stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Jeff Brown is next with the original Quiet Storm on 96.3 WHUR. More of this conversation in just a few seconds.
This is Washington.
Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM, Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Tonight, we're talking about black gun owners. Are they different from gun owners of other racial groups? Are they treated differently? My guests are criminal justice consultant and former D.C. police officer Ron Hampton, also Chanel Tillman, vice commander of the Black Gun Owners Association. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Chanel, thank you so much for joining me. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
I will start with a question that a caller asked about Black gun owners and the NRA. Why does there seem to be a divide?
What I've noticed as a Black gun owner is whenever there's an issue that arises when it comes to guns and our people, the NRA does not step up. They're silent. We don't have a voice for us when it comes to issues of guns or gun control for the Black culture.
Have you had an opportunity to talk to anybody from the NRA about that? Because this isn't something that's new, and it didn't start with the death of Philando Castile. We've seen some visceral comments from the NRA during the campaigns of Barack Obama. We've seen support for the Trump administration and candidate Trump. We also have seen those who are members of the NRA saying that Hillary Clinton, when she was running for president, that she was going to take away the guns. Is it safe to say that the NRA is a white organization?
In my opinion, it is.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why the Black Gun Owners Association had to be put in place. Mm-hmm. Someone that is there for us. Mm-hmm.
Talk to me about what it's like to buy a gun as a Black person. Let's say, and we were discussing this earlier today in our newsroom, you have a 22-year-old Black man. He's got, you know, some dreads, twists in his hair. His pants may even be sagging, but he has no criminal record. He may even have a college degree. He may have some tats, but he can legally purchase a gun. In your mind, would it be more difficult for him to buy a handgun legally than it would for a fair-haired white kid?
Absolutely. Just based on his appearance alone, not only is he a Black male, but then he has the things that go along with the stereotypical thug, the dreads, like I said, the dreads, the possible tat, the possible sagging pants, all of that factored in. They're already looking at us differently in the first place, but then when you add those extra visuals, there in itself is going to add in more discrimination towards us.
Mm-hmm. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Scott calling from Virginia Beach, Virginia. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hey, how's it going? Thanks for taking my call.
Absolutely.
Been Black all my life and been a gun owner all my life, been around guns forever, and I just had a couple of comments and a quick question. First off, I've been pulled over a number of times by the police, like many people have, for a lot of different reasons, whether it's speeding, tail light out, you know. They're just trying to do their due diligence and do a traffic interdiction based on anything they can get. And I think for Black folk, if you're a gun owner, you're trained gun owner, because that's a huge difference between a regular person mm-hmm. that goes in and buys a gun and then just goes out and carries it thinking they know what they're doing and they don't. Me, I've carried a gun all my life, and I actually work with firearms on a regular basis in my profession. So you can't say the word gun as soon as your cop rolls up to your window and you don't want to be talking about having a gun on you. The right way to do it, hand them your driver's license and your concealed carry permit, and then allow him to ask the question, are you carrying? And say, yes, sir. And then be able to speak intelligently about your firearm and the type of holster. If you've got a Raven concealment holster in your right hip with your Glock 17, articulate that. That way he understands that not only do you know what kind of firearm you're working with, you also know that what type of holster that it's in. That gives him a little more confidence that you're not the average person or average Black folk with a gun. And number two, going into a gun shop and buying a gun, it's not that difficult. I've never had a problem. It's because when I go in there, I've already done my research, and I ask to see specific types of weapon systems that I want to look at, and I know a little bit about them. And I tell you, they do look at you different until you open your mouth and start speaking intelligently about it, and all that melts away. It's happened for me every single time. So,
yeah, but hold on, though, Scott. Based on just listening to you, you could sell ice to the governor of Alaska, okay? So let us be clear. Obviously, you're educated, you're intelligent, you know
about firearms, and you just said you work with them in your profession, but not everyone has that, if I may, not everyone is armed with that kind of information.
I tell you this, I'm 41 years old, and I guess for the last 13 years of my life, I work at firearms, but even before then, when I was in my 20s, I would go buy firearms, and I've been able to do that. We got this new thing called Sergeant Google. I think everybody's heard of it. You can go on there and get all the information before you even set foot on a gun store. If you know the deck is already stacked against you in society, don't give society a reason to confirm their preconceived notions about you.
Okay.
Yeah, they're going to have that. When you walk in there and you start opening your mouth about firearms, even if it's just a small amount of knowledge, it shows that person that's selling the gun to you that, hey, this guy's done some more research, but he might be off on this. Let me educate him. Now you're looking to that guy who's selling you the firearm, the shop owner. Now he's your teacher. Allow him to assume that position of you and get that education about what gun you may or may not, you know, need to be looking at.
Ron, hold on for a minute there, Scott. Ron, you had a quick question because I need to move forward.
Yeah, do the white guys that go into the store have to do that? I mean, what you're suggesting is that somehow or another that it's the whole thing about that we need to talk to in the black community, we have to talk to our children about how to navigate police stops. They don't do that in the white community. That doesn't take place at the dinner table in the white community about navigating police stops and police contact. So, I mean, it's nice to have that kind of information, but why do I have to be able to go into a store and prove to the shop owner that somehow or another that I'm okay? That's it. That's almost like you're suggesting that I'm okay, so you can feel safe and sell me a gun. No, you don't have to do that. That's not connected to the Second Amendment. It don't say that you have to have all that. It says that that you have a right to bear arms and have a gun. Go buy it. So just go. You can do that. And we shouldn't have to play into this whole idea of substantiating the stereotypical ideas that white folk have of black folk, regardless of what you have on.
And Chanel, which goes back to the question I asked in the beginning of this segment, do African Americans see an asterisk next to the Second Amendment? Is it, take yourself, obviously.
We do sometimes feel it doesn't apply to us.
Of course, that's exactly right. And it's because of their behavior, not ours. Yeah, because of their behavior, not our behavior.
So, exactly.
Yeah.
So why, for example, are you involved with, the Black Gun Owners Association, Chanel? I mean, you're not just a member. You are part of the leadership. Why is it? Why is that?
Absolutely, I am. Well, let me tell you, first and foremost, I am a gun owner because of, I won't call it fear, but I'll call it self-preservation. I'm protecting myself from harm or death since I honestly don't feel like anyone else will. It's almost like us against the world. There's no one there for us. So if I can't protect myself, who will? So in my being relatively new to being a gun owner, July will make 2 years since I've been in this world. This is a whole different world to me, and I love it. But I also need continual training. Granted, what the caller said, I mean, it is true. You do need to know about firearms. You don't need to walk in willy-nilly and just say you want to purchase a gun. At least look like you know something. I can't say that there aren't white people that walk in and do that, but I can only speak for us. We have to at least come in and look like we know. We're different.
Yeah.
And it's an unfortunate thing, but we're different. We're viewed different. We're treated different. So in order for me to continue learning and growing and knowing what being a black gun owner is, why not be a part of an organization that will advocate my gun right?
Well, Scott, thank you.
Gun right.
Scott, thank you so much for your input. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Diamond calling from D.C. Thanks for calling, Diamond. What's on your mind?
But thank you for taking my call. And
sure.
Thank you so much for covering this subject. I'm a mother of three African-American boys here in the District of Columbia. And as I was saying earlier, my oldest son is 26. When he was growing up, I didn't want him to handle any firearms, toy guns, play guns, Nerf guns. It didn't matter because I thought it was going to put him in some type of mentality or put him in some type of category where though he may develop certain types of notions about guns. Now, fast forward a couple of years now, I have a 15-year-old now, and I took him to the gun range. When you go to the gun range, and like the caller said earlier, knowledge is the key. If you are taught, and they teach you at the gun range before you go in the back, they teach you. Take that, I think it took us like maybe 20 minutes, if that, to learn the proper way of loading the gun, of how to shoot the gun, what you should be looking at and what you shouldn't be looking at. It is so important because my son, the 15-year-old, he has been saying that he wanted to be the captain of police ever since he was 8. And I'm going to equip him with everything that he needs. But I do not see where, though, the African-American black male, African-American female, we're not being looked upon equally. And it's a sad notion because it's 2018. But the gun law for D.C., and it may have been updated because I researched it last year. By the time my son is an adult, he will own a firearm, and he will live here in the District of Columbia because it's no way that you're carrying around a firearm and you still have to be afraid. They stereotype us. And it doesn't matter if you're a light-skinned female. It doesn't matter if you're a dark-skinned female. It doesn't matter if you're a female or male. It doesn't matter now if you're a child. They're taking us out. And what are we going to do about it? Are we going to just keep, you know, moaning and groaning and complaining about it? Or are we going to stand up and do something about it?
Now, when you say, Diamond, let me ask you, because you just made an interesting point. You said they are taking us out. Who are they?
And I don't want to say Caucasian. I don't want to say the white people.
Speak your mind. That's why I ask. I mean,
yeah, I don't want to say that. I want to say it's the neo-Nazis. It's the people that pretend that they're not racist, but you really are.
Mm-hmm.
And then we also have some African-American people that's racist against African-American people.
So you're talking about self-defense, essentially.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Just wanted to be clear. Thank you, Diamond. Thank you so much for sharing. And certainly I salute you for raising those three boys here in D.C. So thank you so much. Ron, your thoughts. You've got a lot that you want to drop on us. Go right ahead.
No. And let me say this. Let me be clear. First of all, I'm not against education because I think education is fantastic. And if you're going to own a gun, if you're going to engage in firearms, then you're right. You absolutely ought to do the homework and you ought to have made up your mind what kind of firearm you want, what you're going to do with it and other things, and then go through the training process. I was a police officer for 24 years, so I wouldn't be against that. But what I am against is that somehow or another that I had to, in going to purchase the gun at the store, at the gun store with white folk, that I got to prove to them that I'm all right. And I'm not going to do that. All I want to do is buy the gun. I don't have to prove to them that I'm all right and you can feel safe and that I'm not the stereotypical, I'm not a product of a stereotypical minds of white people. That's what I'm opposed to. So I don't think that we have to do those kind of things. That's what I'm talking about. All we have to do is do our homework. And it behooves us to do that, but I'm not going in the store and prove to white folks so I can get a gun that I'm okay, because white folk don't have to do that. And then lastly, white folk, in terms of owning guns, see themselves as a part of the law and order in our country. Black folk don't see that. Black folks see guns and the police as being something that may endanger them if they buy a gun and use a gun. And the sister that's from the organization is proof of that. She just got through talking about that issue.
I need to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk to Eugene calling from Virginia. And also want to talk to Chanel about some of the other gun issues. Open carry and collecting and all of those other kinds of things that are really in the forefront of the gun news. We'll be back in just a moment. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We'll be back in just a moment. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We continue our conversation about black gun owners. Are they different from gun owners of other racial groups? Are they treated differently? Let me go back to the phone lines. Eugene, thanks for waiting. What's on your mind? Calling from Virginia.
Yeah, I just wanted to address Scott's comment from Virginia Beach.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like the topic was basically ownership of guns by black people.
Right.
He went into what is considered a stereotypical assumption by white America, is that there's a different behavior for the black man. Understood that it is. It's an unwritten law. However, with Philando Castillo, there mm-hmm. was no instruction given. There's no set procedures for an individual to identify that he has a concealed weapon permit on him when the cop approaches. They give suggestions on what you should do, but there is no set rule. So to say that he was the issue is false. You know, it goes back to the fear of the black man with a gun, or just the fear of the black man in general. Every time you bring up a conversation, they want to flip it and bring it as if it's a black issue. It's not a black issue. If in fact that cop was in fear, he probably shouldn't be a police officer.
Hmm.
There's no instruction given. And for him to be shot, it's not that. For Scott to bring that up as an issue, it's misleading and false.
Well, Chanel, your organization is a black organization of gun owners. What do you think about that?
I mean, I have to agree with him. I mean, what Scott said, and I understand, we're just looked at differently. So, unfortunately, we have to conduct ourselves in a different manner. No, we shouldn't have to go in and do that. But in knowing so, there's just certain things that we as black people cannot do because we're looked at differently, because we're treated differently. I just became a concealed carry license.
Mm-hmm.
In December, and I still don't carry it on me for that reason. I'm afraid that if I'm stopped and the Philando Castile just sticks out in my head, you do everything you're supposed to do, and look what happens, and the officer gets off.
Mm. Yeah, see, I suggest to you, my sister, that anybody who is serious about buying a gun does their homework. I want to suggest that to you. Not only do they do their homework, they do a variety of other things simply because they know that they're operating from a deficit. What they are opposed to is that they're not going in the gun store and tap dance, because there's
okay.
no tap right. dancing yeah. in the mm-hmm. gun in the gun store.
Right.
You tap dance at the show, but not at the gun shop. That's not what it's for.
Mm-hmm.
So I resent the idea that you got to go in, know what you want to do, which people do. Because guns is something that is out of the ordinary for people, even those who have history with guns. You're going to go through and educate yourself, but you don't have to go and tap dance. And so that's what Scott was saying.
I didn't go through that when I went to pick up my gun. I didn't have that problem. They treated me, and it was a white gun shop. I walked in with my brother. I told them what I wanted to get, what I was looking at. They picked different things out, told me what would be best for me.
Mm-hmm.
I tried, you know, did the little dry palm targets and all.
Yeah.
I chose my Smith & Wesson M&P 9 shield.
Yeah.
And I'm happy with my gun, but I didn't have to do any tap dancing or anything. Nothing like that.
Well, Eugene, thank you so much for sharing with us. I want to drill down a little bit more on that, because one of the things it sounds like to me is that you were serious when you went in with your brother.
Really?
You went in, and you know, this wasn't a shopping spree, you know, with your homegirls. This was a serious purchase. Take us through not just the picking of the firearm. I'm talking about the legal thing. You were in Delaware, is that correct?
No, I'm in Jacksonville, Florida.
You're in Jacksonville, Florida. Okay, forgive me. You're in Jacksonville, Florida.
No problem.
Okay, so the legal issue to purchase a gun, once you've picked it and you know what you want, what's the paperwork process?
Okay, now, when I picked out my firearm, I was not legally licensed to carry. So, of course, there's a background period.
Okay, tell me about that.
If I'm not mistaken, because I'm licensed now, so it's like I can go in and pick out what I want and leave with it the same day.
Right.
If I'm not mistaken, it was about 30 to 60 days.
Mm-hmm.
It's been so long ago since I purchased it, but it was about 30 to 60 days, if I'm not mistaken. And I can, of course, always look that up. But I went in, I told them what I wanted. I filled out the paperwork, gave them my ID. They made copies. They did what they had to do, took my money. We'll call you when it's ready.
Mm-hmm. I see. and now the and with the background check, I mean, what did you have to do? What kind of paperwork did you have to fill out?
I just had to make sure it was almost like a criminal background, to be perfectly honest. Mm-hmm. You know, of course, did I have any criminal record? Was I a felon? Anything that would prevent me from being able to, anything that would exclude me from buying a firearm. It was a list, basically, of those things. And, of course, if you answered yes to any of them, then you were not going to get that firearm. Mm-hmm. There was going to be no background check.
I see. Okay, so here's a full disclosure before my next question. I don't own a gun. My father owned a P. Beretta. He was a military officer. His father owned a 25 caliber small semi-automatic pistol for his upholstery shop. He also owned a long gun. My mother's father owned shotguns and at least one revolver. And my family is from the South, whether it's Southern Maryland or South Carolina. As I said, I don't own one, but I live in Baltimore, so I commute. So the thing, I guess, that I find fascinating is, for example, Ohio has this open carry law. And, for example, we have seen in Arizona during the and I paid particular attention during the presidential campaigns of Barack Obama, that I don't understand how you can have an open carry. You can just walk around the street with a semi-automatic rifle. Am I just so far in one, or, you know, whether you've got a presidential candidate there or you're walking with your mama? Am I missing something here, Chanel?
No, you absolutely are not. And I don't live in a state that we open carry. We can conceal carry only in Florida. And I honestly feel, now in Virginia, I'm from Virginia originally, from the Hampton Roads area, and I was just there in December, and a young lady walked past me in Walmart, open carry, and I had to stop. I tapped. I said, I'm sorry, you know, everybody doesn't like to be touched. I apologize. But since when has Virginia been open carry? I mean, did she just walk straight in Walmart, hip on the gun, like she was a police officer? It was sticking right out. Yeah. I never knew Virginia was an open carry state. Mm-hmm. And it kind of scared me, to be perfectly honest. I wouldn't want anybody to know I had that on me. I would much rather keep mine concealed.
Yeah.
See, I feel like, in a way, somebody might try you because you have it.
And that's my point. Because
become a target.
As a black man... Even in an open,
as a black woman.
Yeah, well, I'm speaking from my perspective, certainly. But yes, as a black person in an open carry state, I would feel uncomfortable walking to Walmart or to Wegmans.
Yeah, and there have been black folk in open carry states that have been looked at funny, that have been mm-hmm. approached by the police, and mm-hmm. their papers have been checked because a black person with a gun strapped on the side is different than a white person with a gun strapped on
Absolutely.
The side. And law enforcement, even though they know that it's the open carry state, then, you know, they still are cautious because, you know, black folk are threatening. And if you have a gun, that makes you doubly threatened. So it's a problem. And I think because we have a Second Amendment, if people want to carry a gun. But a lot of this open carry stuff has happened as a result of the very conservative nature of the state's legislatures and those individuals in the NRA who have purposely situated legislation to be able to do this because they want to do it. And there's been an exerted push for those kind of things across this country, and we see it. So, I mean, I think what the sister raises about this whole issue about black folk having guns or other folk having guns is equally important, and we shouldn't pass over that, because why do they think that they need to have these guns? Mm-hmm. You know, if they support law enforcement in the way that they support law enforcement and feel safe to the extent that they feel safe, then why do you think you had to have a gun? And then, more importantly, why do you think you had to carry it around in a way? Because some of that is really intimidating.
Yeah, certainly it can be. I only have about a minute or so left. And Chanel, I want to let you have the final word from the perspective of your organization, the Black Gun Owners Association.
Mm-hmm.
What what is the motto, the attitude, the what are your members saying about gun ownership? Talk to me about that.
Okay, well, what the organization, like I said earlier, the organization advocates gun rights for the black community, something we already feel we don't have. Mm-hmm. And when we do have them, they're basically looked at like almost like a joke, Philando Castile. Mm-hmm. And we offer the supportive services for gun owners. So for those who are afraid, those who are unsure, as a black gun owner, what do I need to do? What steps I need to take? They may not have that person or those people around them to help them with that. That's what the Black Gun Owners Association is for, to give support to our community that doesn't feel like we have it.
Mm-hmm. Fascinating. I want to thank you, Chanel Tillman, for sharing with us. You are in a unique position as a spokesperson for African-American gun owners, and we certainly thank you for keeping us informed and safe when it comes
to
gun ownership. And Ron, always a pleasure having you on the program, and I appreciate you coming in and sharing with us as well. Also, we want to thank Julia Craven, the reporter with the Huffington Post, who reported that article about why black people own guns. It's fascinating. You can find it on the Huffington Post website. It's really interesting. And we will be posting information about the Black Gun Owners Association on our website on whur.com on the Daily Drum page. So again, thank you all so much. That is the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141 for this Tuesday, January 9th, 2018. I'm Harold Fisher. You can tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Now, stay tuned for The Connection with Lorna Newton. Good night.
The Howard University Radio Network is WHUR 90.